Bartolomé de las Casas. If you look at the map of Spain, you will notice that the once famous city of Seville is situated on the Guadalquivir River, about 50 miles from the Atlantic Ocean. In this once renowned commercial center, in the year 1474, was born the first priest ordained in America, the Reverend Bartholomew Las Casas. This child, who in later years became the protector of the Indians of America, was descended from a noble family. His education appears to have been received in the schools of his native city and the famous University of Salamanca. History tells us very little about the youthful days of Las Casas. He was doubtless, like many other children of his native country, a lover of flowers and manly sports. At school, he was noted for his serious manner and for his unusual application to study. When Las Casas had reached the age of 18 or 19, the great Christopher Columbus returned to Spain. The success of his daring voyage must have fired the heart of the young Spanish nobleman, for after graduating with high honors from the University of Salamanca, he decided to visit the New World. Accordingly, he left his native land in 1502 and arrived with 2,500 of his fellow countrymen a few months later at San Domingo. When Las Casas had finished his course at Salamanca, he was admitted to the bar, that is, he was permitted to practice law. But there is nothing to show that he followed this calling in the New World. After landing on the American continent, he must have used one of the three prevalent ways of making a living. 1. Bartering trinkets with the Indians for their gold. 2. Mining. Or 3. Farming. Judging from the character of Las Casas, we should say that from the year 1502 to 1510, he was either a farmer or a miner. During this time, he must have given some thought to the question of his vocation, for toward the end of 1510, he was raised to the priesthood. This first ordination in the New World was the occasion of general rejoicing among the American colonists. Little did they think that Father Las Casas would in a few years become the protector of the Indians and the fearless accuser of unscrupulous Spaniards. It must be borne in mind that many of the Spaniards who accompanied Columbus on his voyages to America were money-making adventurers who cared little or nothing for the Christianizing of the Indians. When these Europeans found gold in many of the islands, the natives were compelled to work for them in their mines. Worse than this, groups of irresponsible Spaniards sometimes plundered the supplies of the Indians and carried off their women and children. The natives, who at first regarded the white men as people who came from heaven, soon began to look upon them as the worst kind of persecutors. And in the course of time, energetic efforts were made to expel the pale faces from the West Indies. It was about this time that bloodhounds were used by the Spaniards to terrorize and to bring the Indians to terms. On one occasion, 20 of these ferocious animals were let loose like wolves among a flock of lambs, and hundreds of the natives were torn to pieces. In this shocking manner, the inhabitants in some of the islands were forced to yield to the white men. Then it was that tributes of gold were exacted from the Indians. Those who could not pay deserted their farms and mines and fled to the mountains. Many of the first Spanish settlers in America, as we have already said, were money mad. In addition to this, they were lazy. Some of them preferred hunger to work. Consequently, the Europeans saw the need of pressing the natives into service. At their urgent request, Columbus asked the Spanish government to allow him to divide the Indians of the different islands among the Spanish settlers. Spain granted the favor, and the Indians became the slaves of the white men. In justice to Columbus, it must be said that he did not intend that this allotment of the Indians should last more than a few years, but his successors, Bobadilla and Ovando, made the slavery of the Indians lawful. The Franciscans have the honor of being the first religious order to arrive in the New World in 1493. 3 or 4 secular priests came at the same time. 17 years later, in 1510, 3 Dominican fathers landed at San Domingo and here founded their first community in America. Their influence in the New World was soon felt. Many little abuses which had crept into the Spaniards' way of living were soon stamped out. But the worst abuse of all, the enslaving of the Indians, was not corrected. The followers of St. Dominic felt that some steps should be taken to better the condition of the natives. After giving the subject much thought, it was decided that one of the fathers should preach a special sermon on the cruel and barbarous treatment of the Indians by some Spaniards. In due time, the sermon was written, read by the fathers, and then signed by each. All the Spaniards, from the governor down, were invited to be present at the Dominican church on the first Sunday of Lent, 1511. This particular day came, and the church was thronged with Spaniards who expected to hear some startling news or some pleasant surprise. The surprise came, but it was anything but pleasant, for the preacher accused many of the Spaniards of being unjust, cruel, and barbarous. Taking for the text, "I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness," Father Montesino said, "I ascend this pulpit to let you know that I am the voice of Christ crying in the wilderness of this island. Hence it is meet that you listen to my words with no ordinary attention, but with all the power of your souls and your five senses. Tell me, with what right and with what justice do you subject the Indians to so cruel and so horrible a slavery? With what authority do you wage your abominable wars against these people, many of whom you have slaughtered? Why do you overburden them with work, and why do you not always give them sufficient food to keep them from starving? Nay, why do you kill them daily with excessive labor that they may bring you gold? What steps have you taken to have them know God, their Creator, to be baptized, to hear Mass on Sundays and holy days? Are you not bound to love them as yourselves? Rest assured that in the state in which many of you are now living, you can no more save your souls than the Moors or the Jews who do not believe in Jesus Christ." On that very afternoon, the Spaniards of San Domingo sent a deputation to the Dominican Fathers demanding that the preacher should on the next Sunday withdraw his insulting words. When the superior of the Dominicans would not consent to their request, the Spaniards threatened that dire punishment would be meted out to the preacher. On the following Sunday, Father Montesino, nothing daunted, preached a still more severe sermon against the unjust slavery of the Indians. He proved that everything he said in his first sermon was true, and he asserted that the Spaniards' treatment of the Indians was crying to heaven for vengeance. Such was the deplorable condition of the Indians when Las Casas was ordained a priest in the year 1510. A few months after his ordination, the governor of Cuba invited him to be chaplain of his army. In this trying and difficult position, Father Las Casas, by his kindness and thoughtfulness, won the respect and confidence of the Indians. After spending about 2 years as chaplain of the army in Cuba, Father Las Casas was awarded one of the best sections of the island and the Indians of the neighborhood to be used as slaves. A few years later, he gave up this property because he realized that the slavery of the Indians was unjust and that he, a priest of God, should not grow rich on slave labor. The governor of the island tried to dissuade him, but it was useless. Father Las Casas had made up his mind to spend the rest of his life protecting, defending, and Christianizing the Indians of America. After a few months, Father Las Casas went to Spain to appeal directly to King Ferdinand in behalf of the Indians. Here he found many obstacles. The Spanish settlers in America had powerful friends at court. These tried in every way to counteract the words of Las Casas. They accused him of being a born disturber who thought more of the Indians than he did of his fellow countrymen. Notwithstanding their calumnies, Father Las Casas gained his point. He was made the official protector of the Indians in America, and three fathers of St. Jerome were appointed commissioners to look into the question of Indian slavery. Before leaving for America, the three commissioners were influenced more or less by the friends of the Spanish colonists. When they reached their destination, additional pressure was brought to bear on them. As a result, they were only half-hearted in their aid to better the condition of the Indians. Father Las Casas left no one in doubt as to the object of his mission. He boldly told the Spanish officials in the New World that it was the wish of the king that the natives should not be kept in slavery. The Spanish officials, however, were not willing to free their slaves. Such a course would interfere with their money-making schemes. The three commissioners seemed to be wavering as to whether the measure was necessary. In this predicament, the protector of the Indians went again to Spain to let the king know the real state of affairs in the New World. During the following 5 years, Father Las Casas tried to have more stringent laws passed to better the condition of the Indians. The colonists in America, too, had their representative at the Spanish court. Nevertheless, the protector of the Indians was successful. The Fathers of St. Jerome were recalled, and Las Casas' scheme of colonization approved. Toward the end of the year 1520, Father Las Casas sailed for the New World, and a few weeks later arrived at Puerto Rico. Previous to his landing, a number of Spaniards had come to the island to procure some Indian slaves. Owing to the good work of the Dominicans, the native Indians treated the Spaniards kindly, but when the Europeans seized and carried into captivity a number of the natives, the anger of the Indians knew no bounds. Every white person whom they could seize was put to death. On this account, Father Las Casas went to San Domingo. Here the royal decrees were published, but unfortunately they were never enforced by the Spanish officials. Very much disappointed and discouraged, Father Las Casas betook himself to the Dominican convent. After some weeks spent in prayer, he entered the Dominican order in 1521. The succeeding 4 or 5 years were spent in making his novitiate. This period of study and prayer served to fit him for the very onerous duties which later fell to his lot. It happened that there was one Indian chief on the island of Hispaniola, now called Haiti, who had never been conquered by the Spanish forces. For 10 years he and his followers had lived in the hills and mountains of this country in spite of the Spaniards. They did more. They often put the soldiers of Spain to flight. In the year 1529, one of the Spanish captains was ordered to crush the defiant chief. Before attempting to do so, he went to Father Las Casas and asked him to use his influence in pacifying these people. The protector of the Indians thereupon prevailed on the natives to cease their warfare on the white men and to pledge allegiance to the King of Spain. About the year 1530, Francisco Pizarro received permission from the Spanish crown to conquer the inhabitants of Peru. When Father Las Casas heard what Pizarro intended to do, he went immediately to Spain and obtained a decree forbidding anyone to treat the natives of Peru as unjustly as those of the West Indies. With great haste, Father Las Casas returned to America and set out for a place near Guayaquil, where Pizarro was encamped. Without fear or trembling, he presented the decree to the Spanish leader. Thereupon, all the officers and soldiers promised to obey the royal commands. Las Casas then returned to Nicaragua, where a Dominican convent was built. Father Las Casas and 2 or 3 other Dominicans went to Guatemala about 1535 to begin missionary work among the inhabitants of that country. Not long afterward, orders came from the King of Spain that everything should be done to convert the Indians to Christianity. The Spanish colonists argued that it was impossible to Christianize the natives in a peaceful manner, but Father Las Casas was convinced that it could be done. The governor of Guatemala accordingly permitted the Dominicans to undertake the work. Contrary to the opinion of the colonists, the Dominican fathers converted the most ferocious and warlike tribe of Indians in Guatemala without shedding a drop of blood. In order that these converts should not be ill-treated by the Spaniards, Father Las Casas returned once more to Spain. The result of his visit was that further laws protecting the Indians were enacted by the Spanish government. At the beginning of the year 1543, the Spanish government was holding session at Barcelona. Father Las Casas went there to thank the king for having made new laws in favor of the red men. On this occasion, the protector of the Indians was offered a bishopric in Peru, an honor which he respectfully declined. However, he was shortly afterward appointed Bishop of Chiapas in Mexico and was consecrated in Seville, March 31, 1544. That same year, after a most tiresome journey, he reached Chiapas. Spain had decreed that the American Indians who had been enslaved by the Spaniards should be set free. Bishop Las Casas tried in every possible way to have the decrees enforced, but without success. Later on, when they were partly repealed by the government, Bishop Las Casas made up his mind to return to Spain to plead the cause of the children of the forest. Bishop Las Casas, in the course of his busy and zealous life, took time to write not only a general history of the Indies, but also a number of smaller works in defense of the American Indians. When the brave and saintly bishop was approaching death, his fellow Dominicans knelt around his humble bed and recited the prayers for the dying. He then asked their forgiveness for any offenses that he might have committed and begged them to continue his work in behalf of the Indians. A few moments later, holding in one hand a blessed candle and in the other a crucifix, the first priests ordained in America expired.